When you want to speak, then feel free to speak. Okay, so today, this week's Parsha is Parshas Bamidbar, and it's also, we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim as well. So I thought I'd give a shiur that will tie in both the Parsha with Yom Yerushalayim. You know, the Bamidbar is a very exciting Parsha. I mean, if you didn't know what was going to happen to the Bnei Yisrael, you know, with the Meraglim, like, you know, this would seem like a really exciting Parsha because the Bnei Yisrael and is on the move. The army is organized. They're organized by tribe. They're organized by different flags. They're marching towards their destiny. They're marching towards the Promised Land in an organized fashion with the Mishkan in the center, and everything is wonderful. And everything's great. And then towards the end of this week's Parsha, we start talking about Shevet Levi. And at the very end of the Parsha, this is the last few psukim, the end of the Parsha, after the Parsha just begins to discuss, did I just not do this well? Let's see. That's right. So you have Perek Dalet is talking about the job of Bnei Kehas, okay, what their responsibilities are. And then at the end of the Parsha, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron le'mor, Hashem speaks to Moshe and to Aaron saying, this is Perek Dalet, Psukim Yudzayin, Yudches, Yutas, and Chaf, Al tachrisu et shevet mishpachos hakahasim mitoch halavim. Don't cut off. Don't let them be cut off from the Levim, the families of Kehas, that they're the most prestigious of the families because Moshe and Aaron came from them. They have the most special jobs. And the Torah goes on to say, Vezos asu lahem v'chayuv lo yamusu. And this is what they should do for them, that they should live and not die. V'gishtam es kodesh hakadashim, Aaron uvanav yavou. Let Aaron and his children go, and each one should do their job. Velo, and here's the key passage that we're going to focus on. Velo yavo liros kivala esha kodesh vamesu. But don't let the kohadim go inside and witness. Well, there's a translation here. That's one interpretation of it. Kivala esha kodesh. They shouldn't see when the Kodesh is Vala, is Bolea, is Nivla, because if they do that, they will die. They shouldn't gaze at the Aron or at the Kodesh. They shouldn't gaze at the Kodesh, because if they do, they are going to die. So they're being warned. So I want to try to understand what is the nature of this prohibition of Velo Yavo Liros Kivala Esa Kodesh Vamesu. So what do you think kivala means? I mean, you have an English translation. What is the word bala, balea? What does that generally mean? What does that generally mean, that word balea, bala?
Does it mean to be swallowed up?
Yeah, generally means to be, right. Generally it means to be swallowed up. The problem is, like, what does that mean to be swallowed up? How do you swallow up the Kodesh? What does that mean in this context? That's what the Mefarshim struggle with. Right? So I want to try to understand what this means, and then what's so severe about gazing at the Aron. So the Rashbam, the translation of Sefaria, which is what I told you, is actually the Rashbam's translation. The Rashbam says, Kivala es HaKodesh. Hope everyone can see this, right? So it says, Kishe Sosrim es HaHechal Nigla. So when they dismantle the Mishkan, so it is revealed, right? Ve'im yiru yamusu. If they see the Aron, they will die. Where do we find that? Kamo shematzino ba'anshe beis shemesh. That the people.
Why do you say the Aron?
What?
Why do you say the Aron? Isn't it all the ingredients?
Right. So probably right. So this would seem to indicate, right. So I agree with you, Evan. On the surface, it seems to be the Kodesh, everything. What's interesting is that, so we have to, we have to see how the Mefarshim understand this. Is the Kodesh, now so Kodesh, so what do you think, what could Kodesh mean, Evan, besides the Aron?
All the utensils are in it. The
Kruvin,
the Shulchan,
the Menorah, the Aron. Now, are there other things that are Kodesh besides the Shulchan? What?
Is it Hashem Kodesh as well?
Well, again, we can't see Hashem. That's we're never going to see that.
Kruvin.
What? Okay. I'm just saying, I don't know. So, in other words, is it just the Kalim? It can't be the whole structure because they could see the whole structure. So we have to see what the Kodesh means here. The example they gave about Kamoshi Matsina Ba'anshe Beit Shemesh, Kiro Ba'aron Hashem. And so the question is the Aaron just an example, or is it specifically the Aaron? The people of Beit Shemesh, in Sefer Shmuel, we'll see the source in a bit, they gazed at the Aaron. And so what does Kavala mean? He brings a few examples. Bila Hashem, Derech Ochosecha Bileu, Bila Korbanoseha. So all these different balas, the words mean sort of dismantling, sort of, I guess.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Couldn't Kivala mean, in other words, they would absorb and think and swallow that is what Kedusha is, what they saw, and not the essence of what they can't see, which is really what Kedusha is. So over seeing these things, they would think that that's what they're seeing is what's kadosh, but it's really not. That's not really kadosh. It's what that represents.
Yeah. Okay. You're giving a nice drasha, but how would you translate the pasuk though? Velo yiru kivala es hakodesh. So when are they allowed to see it? Now that I
once they see it, they are digesting it and thinking that that is what kedusha is.
So you would translate, and they shouldn't come to see it like they are. How would you translate the word?
Well, in other words, Kivala would really be an understanding. In other words, they're absorbing it in their mind, but it's the same type of language.
They're not allowed to see when they are absorbing.
No.
What?
They shouldn't look at it, because if they look at it, it'll be
The Kivala as HaKodesh will be the result. Lo yavo liros, they shouldn't come to see, because then kivala is a kodesh. Okay, you have to add some words. It's cute. It's creative. No, it's not bad. The question though is, Herbie, when is this prohibition of lo yavo liros? Is it any time? In other words, there's some assumption they shouldn't see. We don't know when. It seems, at least the way Rashi and the Rashbam understand it, is that Kivala Sakodesh is telling you when they can't see it. You're saying, if they don't see it, then this is going to happen. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I have to think about if we can read that in, you know, what the timing would be. Okay, so, in any case, the Rashbam understands that Shemisha Shehoyu Maschilin Lefarek Es HaMishkan Hoyu Misrachakim B'nei Kahas. From the moment that they would begin to dismantle the Mishkan, then Bnei Kahas would distance themselves. Kidichsiv, Uva Aaron Ubanav bin Soa Machane Vahoridu as Parochos HaMasach, and Aaron and his children came when they were traveling, and they took down this the Parochas and the Chola Parshad Vekila Aaron Ubanav Lachasos Vachin Yavol Bnei Kahas. So it seems, let's look at the Psukim, how the Rashbam understands this. The Rashbam understands that if you look in Pasuk Hey of the Perek, it says, this is the Avoda, right? It starts off and it says, this is the Avoda of Bnei Kahas, and Aaron and his children, they're going to take down the Parochas, and they're going to cover the Aaron, and they're going to put on it a covering, and they're going to, right? And on the Shulchan, they're going to cover, and they're going to cover the menorah, and then after all these things, and after all the coverings, and then in Pasuk Tesvav, v'chila Aaron uvanav l'chatzos hakodesh, and once they're done, then v'achreichen yavo b'nei kahas l'seis, v'lo yigu as hakodesh v'meisu. So the Rashbam is saying that what means kivala means when it's being dismantled, when they are dismantling the Mishkan, and until after it's covered, so then, Bnei Kahas cannot gaze seemingly, maybe he had all the kalim. Rashi says, he translates kivala as letoch velo yavo liros kivala as hakodesh letoch nartik shelo. What's a nartik? What's a nartik? What? A case. Okay, sounds good.
Covering.
Yeah, covering. What were you saying? You all said? Someone else said? Okay, so you can't, they're not, they shouldn't see when the, when he understands, and look, he says, "Kamo shiprashi lamal parsha zup uparsu Allah beged ploni v'chisu osob mixe ploni ubalua shalosh hu kisuyav." So he understands kivala means when you cover the kodesh, not when you're dismantling it, but specifically Rashi is saying as covering. Okay, so whether it's dismantling, whether it's covering, the question is, what's the problem now? Like, why can't you gaze at the kalim, or maybe the specifically the aron, while you're traveling? We know there was another time in the Torah where there was a problem of gazing, and that was by Har Sinai also. Right? There's a story where Hashem told Moshe to warn the Bnei Israel, right, about... I'm sorry? Right. Right here. Shmos Chavdal, Yod and Aleph, the next source. So he says here, Vayiru es, I hope it's big enough for people can see. Sorry, it's too big. Okay. So Velo says, Vayiru es, okay, Yisrael, Vatach Velo Kamasi, Livnas Sapir Chetzim as Shamar Nator. They saw, whatever this means, this is a discussion in itself. They saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there was some kind of image, whatever that means. Vel Atzile B'nei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yado. And God did not stretch forth his hand to harm the leaders of Bnei Israel. And they saw God, whatever that means. They saw what they shouldn't have seen, and they ate and they drank. So, again, it was the problem they were eating and drinking, the problem was that they were seeing, at least according to Chazal. One way of understanding the story is that they looked where they shouldn't look. And then we have the story in Shmuel Aleph, where Vayach Banche Beit Shemesh Kiro Baron Hashem Vayach Baam Shivavish Chamishim Elf Ish. So that's when they're taking the Aaron back from the Plishtim, because the Plishtim, when they took the Aaron after they defeated Shaul, so then the Mishkan caused problems for the Plishtim. So they're like, okay, enough of this. And as they were traveling back with it, so the people of Beit Shemesh looked. Ra'u ba'aron Hashem, and so this was a problem. So the question is, what's the problem of gazing maybe at the aron, maybe at the other kelim as well? What's the problem of gazing?
Rabbi?
Yeah?
I just want to ask you something. I'm sure it's not related to this, but it's striking to me.
Sure.
The story of Noach, when his sons turned around so they would not gaze on him and they lifted up their robe to not to be able to see him.
Right.
There's an issue of, you ask when there's another situation of not gazing on something. There was a punishment for someone who did and credit for someone who didn't.
Right. It's interesting, right. And as it seems that these might be like opposites to some extent. There's like, you know, there's erva on the one hand, and then there's kedusha at the other hand, and we're human beings, so we have to stand somewhere in the middle, right? So, if you have complete animalistic tendencies, then you're interested in erva. If that controls you, then you're interested in erva. If you have no boundaries with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you're going to go all the way to kedusha. So we are somewhere in the middle. We're not allowed to, you know, you're not allowed to look at, you know, just stam erva in most instances, right? You know, there's a prohibition against erva. And then, at the same time, there's a prohibition of coming too close. So I think we're like somewhere in the middle. So that might be like an opposite kind of situation. Like we're sort of...
Right. We have that very often, that you have the contrast.
Right.
A strong contrast.
Between kedusha and erva, right. Yes. Yes, I think that's correct. So there are two opposite reasons why we sometimes not look at something. It's too holy or it's too profane, right? Very good. So what would reasons be why we're not allowed to look at the Kodesh? What would you think? What? Yeah?
I know when it comes to the Shulchan, we know that during the Shulchan Regalim, the Kohanim used to take the Shulchan out to show it to the people. So as far as looking at the Shulchan in general, that you're allowed to do.
Okay.
It seems that here, you're not supposed to look at them while they're being covered. The question in my mind, what I'm thinking about is more a matter of, it's almost like they have to be protected for the travel. So he's kind of like taking them down a step in Kedusha. And maybe that's what you're not supposed to see. Because once they're covered, that's not a problem.
Right. Now, this is
I'm understanding it that the Aron...
Howie, let me just... I'm going to get to you in a second. Let me make sure I want to get Kenny's point, and I'll get you next, Howie. First of all, Kenny, it's not the Shulchan. We're going to do the Gemara soon. It's the Aaron itself. It's the Aaron itself during when they went up to the Regel, they would show the Aaron to everyone.
The Kruvim.
Okay, right. The Kruvim on top of the Aaron. Yes, the Kruvim. Okay. Maybe also the Shulchan. I don't know, but definitely the Kruvim they would show. And what Kenny is suggesting is this might only be a prohibition in terms of traveling. When it's traveling, maybe that's the prohibition. That's the case where they're taking the Aron, when the people of Beit Shemesh are looking at it.
It's also a matter of by covering them, you're showing they need to be covered.
Okay.
You're taking them down the step, as opposed to, you know...
Okay, right. But then they're not covered when they look at them when they're in the...
It's not a matter of looking at them, but watch them being covered, I think.
You have to watch them being covered. That's interesting. Okay, Howie, what did you want to say? Sorry.
I see it as the opposite. Okay. When the Kavalas are, when they're dismantling the Mishkan or taking down the walls, you're uncovering the Aron, which is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's either the Kodesh HaKadoshim or it's a representation of the Shekhinah. That's what they shouldn't be looking at.
Right.
So they have to be away. They have to be moved away, or they move away while the Mishkan is being dismantled until they, in fact, cover, until the Kohanim cover the Aron.
Right. Now they're just saying it's just too holy. It's too holy for you to look at. It's too holy for you to look at because this represents a Shechita. And then, of course, and maybe you can make a distinction to the Aron or the other Kalim. Right.
Okay.
Right, they couldn't see inside the Aron, but I guess maybe the... Right, but I get, when they're dismantling it, so that's then everyone can see it, so maybe that's the concern, but it seems it's not just the concern of seeing what's inside of it. Again, God Shekhinah, whatever that means, he would speak to Bnei Yisrael, between the two Kruvim, which that area was visible. Okay, so I'm going to suggest sort of three approaches as to what's the reason why it's inappropriate to gaze at the Aron. So you first have Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch writes that Asur Lahem Afliot Nochim Bishas Atifas Hakadoshim. He says that Bnei Kohanim can't even be near. Right, they have to go away when they're covering the Kadoshim. It seems all the Kalim. All your vol the rose is a kodesh bisas kisuyav. You shouldn't see the kodesh when it's been covered. If I'm not mistaken, this is the purpose of this prohibition. Hamikdash hu inyan lemachshava. The mikdash is something for your thoughts. V'lo liriya chushanit. You're supposed to think about it. You're supposed to have certain intentions, certain kavanos, and it's not really you're supposed to see it. In other words, there's an interesting dynamic here, which is we describe what these kalim are, but we rarely see them. Because really the goal is that you should imagine, like there's a danger of perhaps idolatry, of looking at these things and seeing that somehow this is a conduit to God. But what we're really supposed to do is we're supposed to understand the message behind every detail of each kli and how that relates to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu with God. So that's really what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be seen, it's supposed to be thought of. No se mikdash yechavnu es datam ba'yuzuna seinehem. They should be, the people carry the mikdash, should be focusing. They shouldn't, look at it with their eyes as best as possible. Mashmos, Amikdash, Tamalias, Rucham, the meaning of the Mikdash should fill their spirit. Valia, Sichu, Datam, Yimenu. They shouldn't deviate their minds from it. Ki Zehu, Yesod, Ma'oti, Shelachova, Hamutelos, Al-Nosi, Amikdash. This is the essence of the obligation of those who carry the Mikdash. If they look at it physically when they're covering it, it kind of like makes it more profane in their hearts. It's supposed to be something they're supposed to think about it. They want to attribute kedusha, sanctity to these kelim, and it's meant to be thought of. It's not meant to be looked at. It's only meant to be, because again, the goal is the message and to think about the ideas. Maybe also, the more that you see it, it's just a kli. It's just a kli, it's just a table, it's just a menorah. You know, when you can't see something, then it's like, oh wow, what does this represent? What is it? Imagine you walk into the aron, it's a box. Okay, it's a box with some, kruvim on top of it. So the point is that the holiness, the experience of the holiness of the kelim, according to Rafurish, is when you don't look at it. Because if you look at it, maybe it's like any other kli. That's how Rafurish looks at it.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Let's take a step back. I'm trying to figure out why was this the paradigm for like the Kohen Kos? Why did he make looking all these things? Why did he make it into such a? Why did God pick on that? Why couldn't he pick on something else to trick him up like or so on?
I don't think he's trying to trick him up. I think that first of all, I think this is consistent. I don't think it's a tricking up thing. Many we find you're in the Makoshir. We find that there are. The punishment of Kares is reserved for Arayos. Going back to Eva's point. Kares, the punishment of Kares is reserved for Arayos and for Kedusha. On the one hand, being too animalistic and engaging in forbidden Arayos, forbidden relationships. And also on the flip side, it's for doing things wrong, dealing with, if you're tamei and you go into the mikdash, if you eat kachet that's tamei, it relates in becoming, in profaning that which is holy. So, at least the way Rav Hirsch understands it, is this is very serious, to profane that which is holy. It's very important to stay away from that which is very profane in this erva. And the flip side, what we're talking about now, is you can't make something that's kodesh into something that's profane. And that's a very serious thing. Rav, that's the way he understands it, Rav Hirsch. But Moshe Chayfez, he's a 16th century Italian perush, and he says, I believe the text contains a warning against the temptation of high office and the cure, humility. Pride and the feeling of success come before a fall. True contentment and happiness can only be achieved by the feeling of reverence and humility. The sons of Kohath were in danger of becoming victims of pride and vanity as a result of the privilege of carrying that ark which had been bestowed on them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld from them, I guess it should be one important detail, they were not allowed to carry the Aaron until Aaron and his sons covered the holy things, so they should realize that they too were subordinated to someone higher than themselves. The prohibition of touching the holy things was designed to disinflate their pride. They should not imagine that they were in complete control and become overproud. So again, and I think Abraham Vanilla also says something similar, that essentially this is... this is sort of a warning against pride, that we don't want the descendants of Kohath to think that they're so great because they get to carry the kelim. So therefore, it's to humble oneself. It's to limit your contact with certain holy vessels to reduce your pride. In other words, as opposed to Rav Hirsch, who says that the goal is so that the kelim themselves should be perceived as holy kelim. And the way to do that is to make them beyond your reach to some extent, so you won't look at them as ordinary kelim. Rav Moshe Chayfez says it's to cover them, to make you, to humble you, to think, oh, I'm not so great. Look at me, I'm carrying this, I'm carrying this, the aron, I'm carrying the shulchan, I'm carrying the menorah. Okay. But there's one, I want to share with you one more idea. So this really gets back to Kenny's question, or Kenny's comment. And here the Gemara, we have one final approach. And the Gemara in Yoma says, so when the Bnei Yisrael made Aliyah Larego, they ascend in the pilgrimage during the Shalosh Regalim, they would unroll the paroches. I guess there were times when it was made of solid walls, and sometimes it was made of curtains. So in this case, when it was made of curtains, they would unroll it. they would roll it up, and Umar lahem es akruvim shayu meurim zebazeh, and they would see, to show them the kruvim, they were embracing each other, and they would say to them, ruchi baschafei amak v'chi basako nekeva. It's beautiful. They would show that, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, as it were, just like the love between you and between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just like the love between a male and a female. So Meisiv Rav Chista asks, wait a second, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to see when, you're not supposed to see the Kodesh. It should be covered up. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, b'shas hachnosas kele nartik shelahem. So this shows is that, you know, basically you're supposed to put the kalim into their whatever, their container and their covering, and you're not supposed to look at them. So I'm Rav Nachman to explain why you're allowed to. Mashal lekala, so it's a parable to a kala. Kozman shehiba beisaviha tsnua mibala, when she's in the house of her father. So then she is modest from her, she's hidden from her husband. Kevan shebasa lebeis chamiha, once she goes to her in-law's house, ain't at snu mibala. Then she's no longer, hidden from her husband. And when is she in her father's house? What?
Before marriage.
Let's say maybe when she's, if there was kiddushin first, there are two steps to marriage. There's kiddushin, and then there's Nisuin. Kiddush, nowadays we do them all together. Kiddushim is when a man gives a woman a ring and says, Harayam Kadesh Aliba Tabadzu, Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So far, as far as I know, you can't do that over Zoom. And I haven't seen anyone ask any of those questions yet. But, right, so you, right, so that's Kiddushim. So she's still in the base of Iha. Nisuin is marriage when he brings it to his house. Maybe to his chamiyas, right? When he brings over to his house, so then she is not hidden. So the question is, you know, what's this mashal trying to teach us? What's the message of the mashal? So first of all, I just want to point out that the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos cites the position of the Bahag that this halacha at not gazing at the Aaron was not a mitzvah for all generation. It was only a mitzvah while the Bnei Yisrael were in the desert. After they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, there was no more prohibition. There was no longer prohibition to look at the Aaron. Then, of course, you have to explain though why the people of Beit Shemesh were killed, seemingly because they gazed at the Aaron. And because here I have a Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tries to point out that they actually died not for gazing at the Aaron. Because it says, "V'ach banchi beishem kiro ba'aron mishum dero v'yachel okim." What God smote them because they looked at the Aaron. Rabbi Abov, Rabbi Elazar, chadam arkotzu mishtachrim hayu. Says, yeah, they were looking, but they're also harvest. They were harvesting while they were bowing. That's not respectful, right? They were davening to Hashem. They were bowing to the Aaron while doing other things. So that was a lack of respect. V'chadam armili nami amur. They were also saying things. Man ameriyacha di imrayas uman asa lecha di fayasta. He says, what embittered you that you got embittered? In other words, because you were enslaved by the Plishtim. So what made you so upset, Mr. Aaron, so that you left Klal Yisrael? And what happened that you were appeased? Now, they're being disrespectful. The point of this Gemara, for my purposes, is that the Gemara here assumes that what? That the sin was not gazing at the Aaron. Right? That's why the Ramban once said the sin was not gazing at the Aaron, because there was no prohibition to gaze at the Aaron. It was only in the desert. It was only when they were transporting it. That's the way perhaps the Ramban understands Masechah Sota. However, not everyone agrees. So I want to share with you a different approach to the Me'iri. The Me'iri essentially says the following. I'll just summarize the Me'iri. And he addresses the Beit Shemesh issue as well. He understands the Gemara is that the prohibition against gazing at the Aaron applies both in the desert and while there was a Mishkan. Because at that time, he writes, sort of about four or five lines from the bottom, he says, while they were traveling with the Mishkan, there was a prohibition, look at the Aaron, why? When we come home, davar ze lo haya lo makom el bamidbar, shehoi Yisrael ke'en arusa. Says, when the Bnei Yisrael were in the desert, so they were like an arusa. That's the parable that Rav Nachman gave in the Gemara in Yuma, right? Or I said that Rav gave, Rav Nachman gave in Yuma. They were like an Arusa. Aval, and even when there was a Mishkan, Aval, Mishanivna Beis HaMikdash Rishon V'nisparz Machiba, wrote to Lomar Shemol Aretz that day Es Hashem V'ayis Olam Chachma Yisei V'ayu Masim Mikvodo Yisparach Ma'ashe V'tev B'nayon Lasigo B'shash Shayu Olam L'Regel. And once they got Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash was built, and the love between God and Klal Yisrael was publicized, and the whole land was filled with knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was great understanding. They achieved a greater sense of God consciousness. And especially when they ascended to the Rego, then at that point they would unroll the crew, they would unroll the parochas to show the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael by showing the kruvim. And then that's the purpose of all mankind to understand. In other words, while until we got Yerushalayim, until we built the Beis HaMikdash, so then it was like the where the Aaron was, it was like they were like we were like it was like an Arusa. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was like an Arusa to us, or we were like an Arusa to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because we weren't permanently in our home. We weren't in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't in, as the word Shechina wasn't in, Yerushalayim. And the Shechina can only be gazed at in its home. Now, it's not simply an issue of pride or getting too close. It's an issue of modesty. The vessel which houses God's Shechina can only be gazed at in its home where it belongs, the magical city of Yerushalayim, which is the center of Kedusha. So think about what the message of the end of Parsha Bamidbar is. Maybe it's simply, watch out, Levium. Don't let your head get to you and think that you have no religious boundaries, even though you have the privilege of carrying the arrow. Right? Don't let it get to your head. Or maybe, don't lose sight of the Kedusha of the Caleb. Or maybe, it is something different. It might be to realize that you're marching towards Eretz Yisrael. The Mishkan is at the center, but that's not the ideal. The ideal is not even getting to Eretz Yisrael. The ideal is Yerushalayim. You cannot gaze at the Aron until it reaches its resting place, Yerushalayim. And so when we celebrate the reclamation of our special home, not just our home, we realize not just our home, it's God's home. And again, we're not there completely yet because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we are partially there. Partially there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is coming back to his home. This is what we're celebrating, the 53rd year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming back to his home. And this is something that's very special. And that's something that we should celebrate. And that is something which is referenced even in Parshas Bamidbar, dealing with gazing at the Aron, wait until it reaches its resting place, which is Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh.